Welcome to the deep dive. You know, you said a sources that pose this really unsettling question, one we see mirrored pretty much everywhere. Why are our most sophisticated, modern systems, I mean, everything from global finance to complex biology, becoming simultaneously more adaptive, faster, and more fragile?
It's a huge paradox, isn't it?
Yeah, we're talking about systems that are incredibly innovative, but they feel like they're constantly on the brink of collapse.
It is a profound paradox. And the sources we have today, they offer not just a philosophical answer, but a unified structural diagnosis. We've been immersed in these excerpts from Dr. Bishara Saheeli's work, From Metastasis to Metastasis.
Which builds heavily on John McMurtry's work.
It does, yeah, a structural critique.
And the core claim is, I mean, it's staggering. It takes this idea of the cancer stage of capitalism and argues that it is not a metaphor.
Not at all.
It suggests the failure mode we see in, say, runaway economic growth, environmental depletion, and even cellular pathology is structurally exact. It's the same regulatory breakdown happening across all living adaptive systems.
Absolutely. So our mission today is to kind of give you a shortcut to understanding this unified diagnosis. We're going to trace the evolutionary arc of governance that determines viability, you know, how life regulates itself.
And then pinpoint that critical failure mode.
Exactly. The one that leads to what looks like catastrophic success. Then we outline the missing layer that's required for planetary and societal recovery.
Okay, so before we jump into the four stages of regulation, we need to establish the foundational building blocks. According to the source, what are the three irreducible functions for any system to survive, whether it's a cell, a business, or a whole country?
Right. These are the universal components. So first, you need engines.
Engines.
These are the sources of power. So metabolism in a cell, labor and capital investment in an economy, or, you know, technological breakthroughs, they drive activity.
So basically, the ability to do things.
Precisely. Second, you need buffers. These are your reserves. They absorb variability, shock, error. In a body, that's something like immune tolerance. In a society, that's social trust or shared infrastructure. On the planet, it's ecological integrity, the capacity of forests or oceans to regulate the climate.
So buffers are the system's margin for error.
That's a great way to put it. And the third component, which sounds like it's the most critical one when we talk about failure,
Is the governors.
the governors, exactly. These are the mechanisms, so inhibitory signaling, ethical norms, laws, policy constraints that regulate permission. They decide when the engines can accelerate. And I think more importantly, when they have to slow down or just stop.
And the key insight here, the thing that defines the whole diagnosis is what?
Systemic failure happens when the engines bypass the governors and draw directly from the buffers.
Wow, okay, that immediately lands. I mean, think about a corporation reporting these huge short-term profits.
Right.
But those profits were financed by, I don't know, cutting maintenance, depleting employee trust, externalizing pollution.
The short-term success just masks the fact that it's fundamentally insolvent.
It's the appearance of adaptive success, but it's financed by liquidation.
That's the core of it. And that's why we need to understand the evolution of governance itself. So let's unpack this, starting with the two earliest regulatory stages that govern basic life.
Okay, the first one, which I think everyone knows, is homeostasis.
Homeostasis, right. It's stability through constancy. It governs specific internal variables like blood pressure or pH using these reactive corrective feedback loops.
The thermostat analogy.
It's the classic thermostat analogy. If the variable drifts too high or too low, the system automatically corrects it to return to a predefined set point. Simple, elegant, reliable.
But if the external environment changes dramatically, that fixed set point, it becomes a liability.
That is the exact limit of homeostasis. Rigidity. If a system insists on maintaining, say, the same pre-war budget structure or the same fixed economic assumptions, even with rapid technological or environmental shifts,
it just burns energy trying to stay the same.
It spends escalating energy preserving the past rather than adapting to the future. And that stability, it turns into predictable brittleness. It leads to catastrophic organizational failures or, you know, policy gridlock.
Okay, so evolution needed a way to manage novelty and stress more dynamically. And that pushed us to the second, much more flexible stage, allostasis.
Allostasis is a profound evolutionary leap. It's stability through change, and it's anticipatory.
What do you mean by anticipatory?
So instead of just reacting to a variable drifting, it regulates the entire system state by reconfiguring its operating modes based on prediction. When you feel threatened, your brain doesn't just manage your heart rate, it preemptively shifts resources.
Right, it diverts energy from like digestion and growth toward immediate muscular action.
Exactly. It's changing the internal rules just to survive the immediate threat.
So you're trading off long-term maintenance for immediate flexibility. It's incredibly effective for acute stress. But what happens if that stress becomes chronic? Or if the system just keeps reconfiguring without ever standing down?
And that's where the trouble starts. Every one of those state shifts, it incurs a cost. It's wear and tear. The source material calls this the accumulation of allostatic load.
Like professional burnout.
Perfect example. Professional burnout in a high-demand industry. The person is constantly adapting, they're innovating, they're functional, but they're doing it by liquidating their own internal buffers. Sleep, health, mental capacity.
The system is still working, still producing results, but is becoming exhausted on a deep structural level.
Exactly. Allostasis provides adaptability, but it lacks an intrinsic affordability check. It does not ask that critical governing question. Is continued adaptation still viable over time?
And this state, this functional but exhausted survival, where you're just consuming future capacity to succeed in the present.
That's the threshold. You've adapted perfectly, but you've moved into a state of structural insolvency.
And that insolvency brings us to the core failure mode, which is, I mean, it's chilling in its accuracy when you apply it broadly. Yeah. Metastasis.
This is adaptation run amok.
Yes.
Metastasis is the signature failure mode. It happens when that adaptive power, that incredible flexibility from allostasis, escapes the governance of the host system. It is changed without permission.
Defined by extraordinary internal success.
Yeah.
That is lethal to the whole.
Exactly.
So if we accept the source's structural premise, then the features we see in, say, a malignant tumor have to be mirrored precisely in a failing social or economic system.
Mm-hmm.
What are those invariable features?
Okay, so first, unchecked expansion. Activity just scales and scales because nothing enforces an upper bound.
Hmm.
The internal signal that says enough has been ignored or just silenced.
So a successful company demanding infinite growth regardless of finite resources.
That's it. Second, boundary violation. Domains that were once regulated by their own distinct criteria are invaded, they're overridden.
Okay, give me an example.
Think of the logic of maximization and market competition invading domains defined by care-like education, public health, elder care. When a hospital is run purely to maximize shareholder return, it collapses the boundary between healing and profit extraction. Differentiation just collapses.
The third feature sounds like that liquidation we mentioned earlier, buffer consumption.
It is. Buffers are no longer treated as reserves to be protected. They're treated as fuel. Something to be actively liquidated for short-term gains. Social trust, ecological resilience, regulatory protections.
They're stripped away and mistaken for inefficiency.
Precisely. The system gains short-term velocity by sacrificing long-term viability.
And finally, a lack of an exit condition.
Right. Once the system commits to this metastatic path, it can't stand down. It only demands escalating resource consumption to maintain its growth. It's an engine that only knows how to run faster, even if it's heading straight for a cliff.
And this is exactly why the source argues that McMurtry's diagnosis of the cancer stage of capitalism is structurally exact. If we apply these four features to the global financialized economy,
the fit is perfect.
How so, though? I mean, if the economy's growing, GDP is up, markets look robust, how is that unchecked expansion disconnected from enhancing life capacity?
Because the growth of asset prices or GDP becomes autonomous, it's no longer regulated by whether it actually improves public health or ecological stability or people's life conditions.
Right.
A financial product that destabilizes millions of mortgages or a factory that pollutes an entire watershed still contributes positively to GDP, even though it actively degrades the life capacity of the host system. Growth is just measured by throughput, not by viability.
And the boundary violation, I mean, that's visible when you see private equity invading local media or specialized healthcare, cutting core staff to maximize margins. It's extracting value from the very system that's meant to provide care or knowledge.
It's the homogenization of institutions under a single metastatic imperative, profitability at any cost. And the buffer consumption is, well, most damagingly seen in our environmental debt.
We're treating the planet's capacity to absorb carbon or sustain biodiversity as an infinite free buffer to be consumed for immediate energy returns.
Exactly.
So if the system has all this adaptive capacity, all this intelligence, but it still falls into this lethal failure mode, what exactly has failed?
The source is really clear on this. The core regulatory failure is the loss of jurisdiction.
Jurisdiction.
The whole system, the society, the planetary ecosystem, the body, has lost the ability to subordinate the success of its parts. You know, the profitable cell, the innovative market sector.
To its own long-term viability.
The governance of regulation itself has collapsed.
It sounds like an internal immune system failure, which I guess takes us from the diagnosis to the prescription, this missing regulatory layer that prevents this adaptive escape. Metastasis.
Metastasis is the necessary evolution. Where homeostasis regulated variables and allostasis regulated states, metastasis stabilizes viability. It is the governance of adaptation itself. It ensures the system can handle change without becoming self-destructive.
And critically, it's preventative intelligence. It operates prior to crisis, unlike the reactive approach of homeostasis or the exhausting adaptation of allostasis. What's the active function of metastasis?
Its primary job is to preserve the conditions under which future adaptation remains possible. It's the layer that ensures the system retains the capacity to say no.
No to what?
To locally successful but globally lethal activities. If we think of cancer, metastasis would be the molecular checks that prevent a cell from replicating before it verifies its regulatory agreements with the host.
So how does a society enact this kind of immune governance at scale? This sounds like massive control, which, you know, immediately raises alarm bells about individual freedom.
And that's where the key mechanism comes in. Rationing to life necessities. Now, the word rationing.
Yeah, it triggers a fear of government control over scarcity.
It does. But here, the source reframes it entirely. It's not about distributing scarcity. It's about enforcing viability criteria across the entire system.
Okay, let's break down those two components. First, rationing out. What are we constraining here?
We are constraining activities that predictably degrade life capacity. This is a regulatory judgment that's enforced by the governors. It means the system has to identify and put an upper limit on things that are consuming the vital buffers.
Can you give us a concrete example? Something a society would ration out under a metastatic framework?
Sure. Think about the speculative abstractions in finance that create systemic fragility. These complex derivatives that serve no public good but destabilize the whole economy.
Okay.
Or consider the expansion of high-carbon infrastructure that we know will blow past planetary boundaries. Rationing out is the intelligent constraint on these activities, judging them as metastatic because they erode the conditions for life itself.
It's basically saying your success is forbidden because it guarantees our collective failure.
That's a powerful way to put it. It's the societal immune response. Mm-hmm. So then the flip side is rationing in. This is the guarantee.
The guarantee of what?
Rationing in guarantees essential life necessities. This means ensuring guaranteed access to clean water, non-polluting shelter, food security, ecological integrity. The source material defines these as elements of the civil commons.
We mentioned the civil commons briefly, but let's ground it. If it's not governed by market logic, what is it?
It refers to all the non-market regulated infrastructure and necessities essential for human existence and thriving. So these are shared resources like breathable air, public education, public health infrastructure, and the legal framework that protects them.
And metastasis treats the civil commons as what?
As the primary irreplaceable buffer that has to be actively protected from liquidation. Guaranteeing their availability is how a society ensures its own long-term health and reduces the allostatic load on its citizens.
So moving to planetary scale, if Earth becomes the host system, how does metastasis redefine environmental policy?
It radically shifts the view of planetary boundaries. So instead of viewing climate thresholds or biodiversity losses, you know, targets to slightly exceed, they're reinterpreted as non-negotiable inhibitory signals.
The planet's own internal governors kicking in.
Exactly. Development is no longer defined by maximizing throughput. It's redefined as enhancing life capacity within those absolute limits. The host always comes first.
Let's go back to the idea of freedom, because constraint, whether you could call it rationing out or planetary boundaries, it often feels like a loss of liberty. But the source introduces a really powerful counter concept, durable freedom.
This is maybe the most important takeaway. Metastatic systems, they promise maximal unencumbered freedom now, the freedom to pollute, to speculate, to liquidate buffers. But that freedom is brittle.
Because it just accelerates the system toward collapse.
It accelerates the system toward coercion imposed by collapse later, whether that's an ecological disaster or financial ruin.
So freedom today means less freedom tomorrow.
Durable freedom is the opposite. It's defined as the preservation of option space over time. Your freedom to innovate, thrive, and adapt remains viable because the underlying structural conditions, the buffers, were protected by early intelligent constraint. Metastasis makes freedom possible for the long term.
That sequence really gives us a full picture. Homeostasis fails under stress, allostasis burns itself out, and metastasis is simply the result of missing metastasis. So the crisis is solved not by retreating, but by evolving governance.
Indeed. Healing is not just fixing a variable or reversing a symptom. It's the recovery of jurisdiction, the restoration of the system's capacity to learn from stress and prevent its repetition. And that requires patience, aligning power with protection and demanding accountability to time and viability.
This analysis is, wow, it's both challenging and intensely hopeful. It suggests that highly adaptive systems, whether biological or economic, fail in predictable ways, and the solution is already encoded in the evolutionary history of life.
Life persists not by escaping limits, but by governing change intelligently. You know, if durable freedom depends on early intelligent constraint, just reflect on a system you rely on, whether it's your personal financial strategy, your local government's growth targets, or a global market that you celebrate for its explosive, unencumbered growth. Is that freedom being secretly financed by the hidden liquidation of irreplaceable buffers, whether that's social trust, ecological capacity, or even your own personal recovery time? What is the one thing you would ration out today? What constraint would you enforce to secure durable freedom for the future?